Good afternoon, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, my dear colleagues. This is Robert van de Kerkhof, Thomas Riegler, Fritz Weening, and myself. Thomas is here, Fritz is here. Just Robert is on a selling tour. So maybe the connection is not as good as it would be if he would be in Lenzing, just for the information. I'm starting with page three, quarter three executive summary. And the quarter three, besides the very positive effects from the excellence program and the tensile fiber production, sales volume up 5%, 5% only against the 1-9, 7%, because third quarter normally is a quite difficult quarter. We have Eid al-Fitri, that means Ramadan in the Muslim countries, particularly Indonesia, and summertime in Europe. But of course, as it is every year the same, we know that, but still with some other logistic problems in Indonesia, it is always a tough quarter. Therefore, the 5% are even more outstanding. Average fiber prices, and this is very, very important. This does not mean that now we just see prices going to the north, and this is also no price reversal. This is the summary of many, many, many things in the market, particularly up 5 cents, which, if it would be for a full year, would be very, very nice. Sales increase is small, but still 10 million almost against the second quarter is also reflected by the sales. Of course, the biggest impact is coming from a better product mix. Robert will work out on that. The additional tensile volume, we have for the first time now one full quarter where we have 3 months of tensile production. We are out of the sampling period. We are out of selling subgrades. So now the first time that we have a normalized tensile quarter for our new tensile line in Lenzing. And last but not least, and very, very important, because for the, I would say, first time after most of the FTE reductions have been made and the effect and the impact is really working and effective, the excellence savings. So shouldn't be that much of a surprise, because we indicated that savings would be in the second half a little bit higher than in the first half. EBITDA of 68, almost 15% EBITDA margin against a 10% margin in second quarter. I am moving to page four, 9 months. Financials improving, liquidity improving, but still very, very tough marketing and pricing environment. On a 9 month basis, we're talking about 7% increase. So to more than 700,000, that's really a challenge on the background of the market, on the background that we see also increased production and capacities, particularly from Biela as well as from Satory. So not just some low quality producers, these are some quite good producers. But we have seen, as I mentioned, the tensile jumbo line fully effective. We see with Robert instigating and starting and embarking on a lot of different tensile and modal campaign. He will work out on that. On the financial for the first 9 months, beside that, what Thomas will tell you, average price for the 9 months, 155. Of course, still below the third quarter was 157. If you just take the difference between the first 9 months of last year and the first 9 months of this year, there's a price drop of 10%. You know that we're talking about 18 cents per kilo. Every cent is 10 million. Goes without saying that this is heavily influencing the turnover as well as the EBITDA. Due to the excellent saving, we could turn around this drop. So for the first 9 months, to summarize, close to 160 million EBITDA, Of course, that's just 12% margin. And without preempting what Thomas will tell you, also very, very important and in line with the guidance we gave you that we're doing everything on the liquidity side to keep net debt below 500. So I'm now handing over to Fritz, who will tell you about viscos and cost.
Hello, everybody. Fritz Wenninger speaking. Just let's walk to page number 5. I would like to give you some overview about the competitive fibers and about the prices thereof. Let's focus on cotton and viscose fiber. If you see, let's say, the dark green, and this is the viscose line, then you see that the price decreases in viscose started already back in 2012, and it seems now that it's flattening out a bit. On the other side, you see that cotton prices being pretty resistant to any changes. Of course, the demand was also very weak on this side. But then a sharp decrease came within this year. And just give you a number there. If you are in the January with about 98 cents a pound, we are now out about 68 cents a pound today. So it means it's a sharp decrease of about 24%. Whereas viscose fiber is flattening out. The really good news on this page is that the premium viscose versus cotton is back again. And this we told you all the time, also during the IPO. There is a premium out of several reasons. And if you compare today's viscose prices with today's international cotton prices, we are enjoying a premium of about 11%. So let's walk to page number 6 and see the reasons for the sharp price decrease on cotton, why it had to come at a certain point of time. And let's just focus on the right side of the page where you see some bars there. And you see quite clearly that the demand was very, very flat and the production was always exceeding the demand. So we are now in at the fifth consecutive year where the demand, the supply exceeds the demand. So you see also on the, let's say, orange bar that the cotton stocks are increasing. But also interestingly is that according to ICSC, and this day we are taking this prognosis most of the time, that the lower cotton prices, and we are now heading always between 65 to 70 cents a pound, should stimulate the demand. And if you see that we are having a 4% increase from this year's crop to next year's crop, so about 24.5 million tons. Nevertheless, still with the increased demand and the more or less flattish supply, still the cotton stock will increase because US, as it seems now, is the more or less only country which should increase the cotton production for next year's harvest to about 800,000 tons, finished next year. Well, what is this all about? And a major factor of this is China. And in China, you see that the, let's say, kind of a regulated prices went down now from 19,000 RMB a ton to 15,300 RMB a ton, or about 110 US cents a pound. And what changed in China now is that the Chinese government is not anymore subsidizing, so on the producers level, they are now start subsidizing the farmers. And was it before Xinjiang area, which is about 60% of the total Chinese production, there are recent talks now that Chinese want to subsidize all farmers. They were recently talking about Shandong, but now it seems to be a big discussion that all of them should be subsidized. Well, this, of course, will have an impact because on the one side, China restricted the import quota quite heavily to about 900,000 tons a year. And because everything which goes above that quota is heavy taxes with about 40%. And on the other side, if this will happen where China imported about 3 million tons a year, Of course, outside China, we'll have export problems, mainly US and Australia and other countries. So it's really interesting to see how this situation will continue. One, let's say, spot to the stock-to-use ratio. In China, it's about 160%. Rest of the world, and this is 54%, which is pretty, pretty low. And this is, of course, creating a very severe situation when the cotton imports of China will being reduced. If we go now to page number 7, what is that all impacting and how is the situation on viscose? So if you see about the Q3 levels in viscose spot prices in China, 12,000 RMB a ton, pretty stabilizing, is about 167 to 170 US dollars per kg. Interestingly, I mentioned it already, the price premium over cotton is back on viscose, currently, as I said, about 11%. Nevertheless, all in all, it should not create a very positive environment, not at all. All prices are pretty low, and the tough viscose market pricing will continue. On the one side, of course, be out of the pressure from cotton, no question about that. On the other side is that, and I mentioned this in previous conference calls already, that the Chinese competitors are facing a severe cash situation, and so pricing is done by a lot of cash income, so it's not really on profitability based. The good news, I must also say, is that this year's new capacity coming on stream will be just about 200,000 tons, and the expectation for next year shouldn't be more than about 150, max 200,000 tons. So in 2015, you see that this market climate also has an quasi immediate impact on the investment policy of the companies. Short eye on the viscose dissolving pulp. So the anti-dumping regulation, some are saying, had no impact. I wouldn't agree on that. It had an impact because the price level imported into China is about $820 a ton, and is also quite stable so far. And on the other side, but what we see here compared to the viscose, so the overcapacities will remain pretty high in pulp over the years to come, because there are some new investments in South America and also in Eastern Europe. Well, this is all about. Now, Robert will give you a big also promotion campaign on Tencel. Robert, please.
Yeah, thank you very much, Fritz, and good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. A 25% increase in Tencel volume quarter over quarter is a significant achievement that Lenzing is very proud of. And the demand in the market indeed picked up as a marketing campaign already started in the summer, specifically focusing on Tencel. We've gained significant success with Tencel in denim, and producers like Gap in USA have signed co-branding opportunities for us to brand Tencel on their products. Also, in the home textiles business, we've made significant progress, specifically in China. We've had a great success that almost every Chinese bed linen producer has Tencel in their summer collection for next year, and that's those sales are taking place right now from our side. So that is progressing very well. But we're also expanding in our home segment with a campaign in the towel area, with a campaign with U.S. retailer Target, as well as Bed Bath & Beyond, where we've so far identified 6 million pieces with hang tags, and that business is continuing to grow. On the interesting non-woven business that we have some new market data that is promoting a Tencel Biosoft product that is significantly more comfortable for incontinence products that we are fairly small in today, but it's a market that we're hoping to open up in the next few years. So the data that we have is proving that we have a unique position there. on the Tencel fiber promotion. We are focusing definitely in the trade on promoting our product. But of course, during all the events, we're also making the opportunity, we're taking the opportunity to promote our new Tencel plant, which is really highly perceived in the trade. And that is something that reflects in the various press releases, that it's not only the product, but also our production expertise that, that shines in the press. The successful rollout of the NIT program that we announced in the previous quarter for the A100 and the LF specialty Tencel version is really kicking in with a significant increase in sales of A100 at the end of the third quarter. Besides our push on Modal, we're also continuing to the Tencel. We're also continuing to push Modal as a market activity, and in Europe we've had great successes with in the apparel area with Lidl in Europe, where we have a brand cooperation as well as a TV campaign with more than 3 million pieces being sold. And Chibo and Ushido have another brand licensing with Modal of another 2.6 million. So a lot of exposure there. Again, on the home side, besides the new push of Tencel, Modal is a great product on the home side with A. Fontaine in China promoting Pro Modal, as you can see on the right, on a large scale during some street advertising. Acme in Southeast Asia has started Promodal cotton blends in bed linen towels, providing a great opportunity for us. And also in the United States, Walmart has a license of 500,000 pieces for towels, so a truly global campaign. So here was how I would like to hand over to Thomas Wiegler. Thank you.
Yeah, hello and good morning also from my side. I would like to give you a brief overview about the financials. Since you all had read most of them, I will only highlight some figures. On page 10, if you look into it, you see a like-for-like comparison for the quarter three compared to the previous year, and also the 9 months compared to the previous 9 months, 2013. If we look in the quarter perspective, you see that we were able to achieve an EBITDA of 68 million, which is an increase of 11% compared to the quarter three 2013. So it's the first time in this year that we are beating a quarter of the previous year. Even with a 10 cent, and this equals to 100 million reduction in average fiber prices, and only a 5.2% volume increase, which is normally higher, but like Peter already mentioned, due to Ramadan and summertime, it was less. So this is leading us in the quarter three to 14.9 EBITDA margin, and after depreciation to an EBIT of 37 million gives an 8% EBIT margin. Looking to the 9 month comparison, we increased our sales volume by 7.1% to 707,000 tons, having a price decrease of 10% from 1.73 euro to 1.55 euro is leading us to a sales revenue of, in a like-for-like comparison, of 1,357,000 euro, which is a little bit less than the compared like-for-like period the last 9 months. But taking into consideration the 18 cents price decrease, which equals to 180 million on a year base and 135 million reduced EBITDA normally on a three-quarter base, we were able, with the volume increase and the cost-saving measures, to achieve 159.8 million EBITDA. And if you do the simple math, normally our result would have been 60 to 70 million less. Without excellence, we would have never achieved this result. So the depreciation taken into account leads us for the 9 month period on an EBIT of 70 million roughly. Going on page 11, there you see the OpEx or the cost split off, even there you see that we were in a like-for-like comparison for the quarter three, able to reduce our costs by roughly 4.8%. And this is reflected in all criteria of costs, in the personnel costs, in the material costs, and also in the other operating expenses. So taking into account that we had a 5.2% volume increase, and also in personnel costs, cost salary wages increase, this is a very good, tremendous exercise to achieve a cost reduction, even having these effects. Looking on the 9 months comparison, it's leading us to a total cost of 1,273,000. Roughly the same in a like-for-like comparison like we had 2013. And there you also see we were able to decrease, to lower our personnel costs. The cost of material are slightly a little bit higher than the 9 months in 2013, but take into consideration on a similar level, even with 7.1% volume increase. And the other operating expenses were reduced by 7.8%. So leading us to the mentioned EBITDA of 159.8 million. So this was the revenue on the cost side. Now let's look on page 12 on our cash flows and net debts. So you see where we are able in a comparison, and here only for the 9 months, not the 3 months, that we increased our cash flow from the operating activities from 57 million last year to 159 million this year. Our investment cash flow was reduced from 97 to 84. And our free cash flow improved from a negative minus 121 to a positive 74.5 million free cash flow. This leading us also to a reduced net financial debt and decrease by 21 million from 505 to 484 million net financial debt. By accident, the same improvement of 21 million is in the net trading working capital. So means we reduced our trading working capital and did also our exercise there, leading us at the end to a liquidity cash cushion in total, liquidity asset plus credit lines of 547.9 million, which is still very comfortable. And on the balance sheet side, to a very comfortable balance sheet with an equity ratio of 46.9% compared to the 45.5% in the year last year, and the net gearing decrease of 42.8%. Looking closer into the net debt, where came the changes from? The positive, like mentioned, the gross cash flow, and this mainly driven by the improvement of the operating cash flow and also the change in the trading working capital, improved by 157.5 and the working capital by 19.6 million. Negative effects in the debt was exactly paying dividend, paying taxes, paying interests, and also our cash capex investments for repair and maintenance and also into the future. It's leading us at the end of the quarter three to a net debt of 484. Nevertheless, with these figures, we still focusing enormously on our excellence cost saving program. As roughly mentioned, if you do the math, our original target of 60 million is achieved, and we are heading for a 90 million target of still this year, and a further on additional 30 million in the year 2015. So if you look into how they are split, roughly you can say one third operational excellence, one third personnel costs, and one third improvements in material costs. So with this, I would like to hand over to Peter again to give an outlook for the year, please.
Okay. To summarize, that means for 2014, fourth quarter, and I think we also can say for the first quarter 2015, there will be the tough pricing will continue. On the background that the Indians have and the Chinese have announced price decreases already last week for viscose, which doesn't mean necessarily also for Modal or Tencel, but particularly for viscose. So if we focus on cost savings and fiber specialties, that means, as Thomas, Robert worked out, this is campaigning, campaigns, push marketing to the spinner and full marketing via the value chain. We expect, Fritz mentioned, cotton prices to stay quite weak on the background of high cotton stock, and as long as there is no clear, very clear indication that Chinese cotton stock are showing some reduction, the weak cotton situation will continue, and that I think even if we have come down in the last 3 years almost 40%, still will keep the lead on prices for at least for viscose. Let's focus on once again on specialities. That means we target and we action plan each major Modal and Tencel customer. That means improving further mix pricing for the fourth quarter and bottom slicing low pricing customers. Beside that, we expect some increasing and some stabilizing prices in the non-woven market. Strategy review, you know that this should be finished by beginning of next year. This is a review on cost competitiveness, asset footprint, and production portfolio, but this means the question, the hypothesis, are Lenzing in a position to produce the right products for the right market at the most competitive sites? That means this is a very clear hypothesis under which we do the strategy review. This means a very clear target that we have to produce at the right market, that we have to produce at the most competitive price, and this is supported by an action plan, which then comes out of the strategy. And on the financials, as Thomas worked out, I think the most important thing is cash management, very active cash management, proactive cash management, working capital trading, working capital reduction, where we have been quite successful, and we want to continue that. And, of course, we want to overachieve on the 90++. I think you have realized that we have added a second plus, which means that we have confidence enough that the sharpening of the program, which we announced a month ago, is resulting in good additional savings, which we need anyway. Okay, I think that we gave you a good summary of the third quarter and what's going on beside that on the market as well as on the production and particularly on our specialty and on pricing. Thank you very much. We expect your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. Please limit yourself to one question only so that everyone has a chance to ask a question. Should there be time left, we can start a second question and answer session. The first question is from Matthias Pfeifenberger of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, Stefan. A chance. One very large question from my side.
Can you please speak a little bit louder?
Yeah, sorry, it's better now?
Yeah, it's good, Matthias.
Yeah, so Mr. Riedler mentioned a 60 to 70 excellence contribution after 9 months, so at least some 30 to 40. for the fourth quarter quite a lot. You're facing in the majority of the tensile volumes with a declining price, but still a premium over viscose, so that's positive. So my question is, why are you guiding for a lower EBITDA? There is no real seasonality in the fourth quarter, so the reasons could be, and I hope you'll elaborate, you're assuming average prices, especially for viscose and tensile, substantially down. You mentioned the price decreases. Maybe also tensile has to be lowered a lot to push in those volumes, or maybe you're implicitly guiding for any impairments that might occur in the fourth quarter. Just any comments on that?
Yeah, I can give you a little bit about the let's say, excellent achievements and also what in Q4 could happen. Because in general, yes, like I said, impact 60 to 70 in the 9 months. If you do the math, that would also mean, okay, another 20 or 25 in quarter four. This is reasonable. On the prices side, you have heard, okay, there's also a lot of pressure in there. Okay, tensile might be a little bit... Well, let's say the same like in quarter three volume-wise. But as you said, realistically, there is also always in a quarter four to do the math for all the year. And in the consolidation and taking everything into account and also the mid-term planning, it's normal, and look into the last year quarter four, that there are also negative effects, which have to be taken into consideration. So slightly higher probably like we forecasted, but not too optimistic.
Okay.
If I can a little bit on the pricing, the third quarter was definitely positive impact, as Peter indicated. Mix, we've had problems. We had the Ramadan, we had some physical problems in Indonesia. So we undershipped a little bit the viscose. So we've had more than viscose. I don't expect a price change in tensile. The volumes are now at the maximum level, so that will continue. But we will see relatively more viscose, which is under pressure, and modal, which is also under pressure. But that will shift a little bit the mix in our average price for the fourth quarter.
Can you give a color on the average price? I mean, we have a lot of moving parts. We don't know. You say tensile is going to be stable, viscose down, modal down, but then you have more tensile volumes, more viscose one, so maybe a guidance on the fourth quarter. And if I just do the math, I mean, let's say it's a 50-60 million run rate on average in Q3 and Q4, and if we extrapolate that into 2015, I mean, just to keep the expectations in check, if we say 60 times 4, 240, and then some incremental savings, is that a good level for next year?
Everything is possible.
Yeah. Any price guidance on the fourth quarter not possible at this stage, or just to give us a bit of color there?
Matthias, as I told you, we are facing pricing pressure, yes. Maybe not to the extent as our Indian guys are facing, and also not to the extent that the Chinese are facing. And on the other side, we are already in the middle of the fourth quarter, so another eight or 9 weeks to go. But nevertheless, pricing guidance, it's something between 150 and 155 or 157, depending, as Robert mentioned, depending on the final mix. You mentioned properly that the phasing in of tensile may be not at the lower price, I would say, but selling another more than 10,000 tons or close to 15,000 tons is not easy, because we are also approaching, you mentioned no seasonality. Of course, Christmas is a kind of seasonality in Europe. We have to see that. And I think you also properly said keeping expectations in check. I thank you very much. I want to keep expectations in check, that to the extent that fourth quarter, from an operative point of view, definitely will not be better than the third quarter.
Okay, thanks for that.
The next question is from Stefan Trubrich of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Stephanie. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I would like to address the cash flow, which has been very decent in Q3. So congratulations here. Free cash flow, 36 million, looks good. I mean, we have to account here. It seems that you had a cash tax credit, so maybe you could elaborate here a little bit. But looking at the free cash flow of, let's say, underlying clean 30 million in Q3 and with Q3 being the first real quarter where you have the incremental Tencel volumes and the cost savings kicking in, could we assume now that this 30 million free cash flow is a run rate for the quarter, so 100 to 120 million annually if prices stay as they are currently, and just to double check here, if you could give us an indication of the year end CapEx and also your CapEx plans for 2015 and 16, as consensus assumes for this year 125 million CapEx, next year 130, and in 2016 180 million CapEx. So that would be very important. No, thanks.
This was a long one question, Stefan.
So cash flow run rate the same is like Peter said for the Q4 in general. Q3 was excellent, was very good, so the run rate would be too high. From now on, ongoing. Nevertheless, we are focusing fully, especially in the working capital, and also in terms of getting operational cash flow out of the company. In terms of CapEx run rate, look, we did this year so far 83 million CapEx. A normal level was always roughly 180 to 200, but there was extreme expansion of volumes, which is not the case, so you cannot expect a very high run rate in that for the future. And what was beside the CapEx?
Tax credit.
Yeah, let's say this is similar. This is not changing in the next future.
Mm-hmm. And not just to come back here, I mean, so what you had the higher CapEx in the first half due to the Tencel ramp up now, only maintenance, so I assume we will have the same CapEx level in Q4. What are your plans now for 2015? Could we assume a 90 to 100 million or maybe less for 2015 and then maybe a little bit more in 2016, also 100, 110 million?
So your first estimation might be a realistic one.
So 100 million annually CapEx?
The 90.
90 million in 2015 and in 2016?
Yeah.
Stefan, let's put a comment. This is this is just the result of the working either of the working capital management and of course of the CapEx cash management.
Yeah.
As we want to be very very careful, we don't want to overdo on the 500 million net debt. So this is the overriding principle. And as Thomas mentioned already, there are no major even small expansion projects in the pipeline and on the drawing board. And as cost savings is not just operational cost but also cash saving, we do our level best and have very clear targets in the organization, quarter by quarter, almost month by month, what can be the maintenance CapEx, particularly the maintenance CapEx. And I think we are managing very nicely maintenance OPEX during this year. As we discussed already several times, It's getting harder and harder to do that also in 2015, but I think we will do it again. And if you put that stone together and another one together, you get to somewhat lower capex.
Okay, but sorry, just to follow up here, because if I remember correctly, there was once an idea to have by 2020 400,000 tons of Tencel, and in order to get there, at some point in time, one needs to kind of phase in some projects, and as a result, we need to see a higher capex. So could that be potentially in 2016?
But Stefan, what we always said is still valid, no question about that. We always said we need an operational capex a year between 80 to 100 million euros. This is for the existing. What goes on top, of course, is additional investment. And as you know, a dental plant, we can make the next one cheaper, no question about that. But magnitudes are still the same.
But no timing yet when this could happen.
No, we are not giving any timing, and I think it would be you surely would be the first one to say if we tell you, well, now we managed to make another two tensile lines, but it doesn't make profit. To build a plant is, I would say, relatively easy. We have to build markets, and that in a buyer's market is relatively difficult.
Yeah. So, then
to be sure that we are able to sell, and then we are going to build.
But the ramp-up, Stefan, goes very well ahead.
You
know that.
Yeah, I trust you. So we assume in 2015.
Thank you.
So we assume in 2015-16 maintenance only. That means that we need to see basically a very nice deleveraging going forward.
Thomas?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Push.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Please press star and one for your questions. The next question is from Bernd Maurer of Raiffeisen Centrobank.
Good afternoon. First, a small question. How many tons of the new Tencel capacities did you sell in the third quarter? And main question is what are your arguments confronting seeing the 68 million EBITDA in 3Q as a run rate for next year? You stated a bit of a price pressure in the fourth quarter, but what would be arguments from your side on top of this possible one-off cost savings and so on? This would be of my interest.
May I ask you the first question? That is, how much did we produce and more or less sell in the third
mm-hmm.
quarter? 15,000 tons dental.
Okay.
On the plant
here. Yeah, and run rate, we answered already that we said, okay, Q3 was an excellent quarter in that case with 68 EBITDA. This is definitely not to be, let's say, a run rate for all the, for this year, quarter four, and all the next year.
And why? Because of it, you mentioned the price pressure. Okay, on the cost side, was there really in the third quarter culminating a lot of savings impact with a bit of one-off character in the third quarter?
Simple answer. Material prices are increasing. Look into caustic. Look into sulfur, and then you know where it comes from.
All right. Okay. Thank you then.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Christian Weitz of Baader Bank.
Yes. Hello, gentlemen. Very brief and simple question for you. Could you help me with the EBIT in the third quarter? Can you elaborate on how much of the EBIT was underlying business, how much came from Tencel, and can you also give us the number from Excellence?
Yeah, the Excellence I already mentioned. You have roughly 60 million in the first 9 months, which we got out of the savings of Excellence. And Tencel is nothing, to say.
So you don't give us this information,
yes,
right?
Yes, we don't disclose it.
I think, Christian, you have to understand that this is a really a very, very commercial sensitive information, and if Thomas would now, and anyone from us would give you now the exact number,
all competitors,
and you can be sure it is a very good number, but we don't want to reduce our market share any further.
Okay, and maybe just a very quick and small follow up. How do you cope? This co-branding, how are contracts structured? How does that work?
Normal, Robert.
From a pricing point of view, that's the interest.
Robert is the expert.
Yeah, there are definitely. It really depends on each program. But what we do with big players is that we have fairly transparent value chains. If we are dealing with some of the big players, they say, well, we plan to have like the towel example or the Bedlin example. This is the amount of towels you want to produce. We then describe exactly what we want in the product. So, for instance, if there's a blend of viscose and Tencel, we have a Tencel hang tag that we provide. We insist that sort of viscose is coming from Lenzing. Then we know exactly with which value chain player they work with. So there is definitely a price sensitivity there, where if the price is not attractive for us down in the value chain, we say, no, then you don't get the hang tag. So we will decide if the price that we obtain from the fiber is interesting enough for us to go into the co-branding effort. And when the co-branding effort then is agreed upon, we get to approve the final graphs, artwork, and we have a cooperation on exact numbers of hang tags that we ship directly to the value chain, and it's taken care of. So it's really a complete integrated value chain approach.
Okay, but I'm probably right that you're willing to give in on the price a little bit in with regards to such a. I mean, you have something out of this contract then, and you're probably willing to give in with a price.
No. I think normally what we would do is we do not give in on the fiber price because it would erode the pricing. What we would do is we might give a little bit of a additional financial kickback to support a campaign, but the price will not change.
I mean, the kickback basically is to give in on the price, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just at a different level in the value chain, right?
Okay.
I mean, the kickback will go to the retailer, it will not go to the direct customer.
Okay, understood. And lastly, I mean, if I look at the chart on page 5, right, there is a certain premium now for viscose, but it's not that viscose increased, it's rather that cotton declined faster than viscose. And why should I not assume that this premium we're seeing right now is declining or even dropping below the cotton price again, as we've seen in the recent past?
That is exactly what I mentioned before, that we are expecting a very, very, very competitive pricing environment. Even if it was, I would say, pretty stable in the third quarter, we cannot exclude, as I mentioned, on the background of Indian guys reducing the price and the Chinese guys reducing the price, that we also have to follow with a certain lead time, but we have to follow.
Okay, understood. Okay, good. Thank you very much.
Please press star and one for your question. The next question is from Fabio Lopez of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. Good afternoon, and thanks for taking the question. I have one question. What's your visibility into the risk from a market share with cotton or competition with cotton and viscose? Because probably as cotton prices went up in the past, you've seen people that were using cotton before to switch into viscose. I would like to ask, is within the existing client base, have you seen any trend of people buying less viscose because they're increasing the mix of cotton in their fibers? Do you see any trend like that developing? And that's it. Thank you.
Robert?
Yeah. Yes, of course, there are definitely players that are buying less viscose. From that perspective, the battle stays on. The market might grow less. At the same time, there's a very interesting momentum going on when you talk about the word risk. Sorry about that. That's my background noise. What is happening?
Are you in the church or what?
No.
You're praying in the church, Robert. Huh?
I'm praying for better prices. No, what is quite interesting is that this drop in cotton price, last week I was at a Sustainable Apparel Coalition where we are extremely well positioned, and all the big retailers, be it Nike, be it Hennes & Mauritz, be it Inditex, IKEA, all they are there. They are in fact getting a little bit more worried about the drop in cotton because they realize on the longer term that this is going to create problems for them. There's no farmer interested anymore in planting cotton if the prices continue to decline. And we're getting increasing requests right now to develop new technologies, considering that for these big players, some developments might take 18 months of new collection. We're getting increasing requests to start blending in Tencel with cotton so that their cotton dependency is being reduced. So, yes, short term, we have the battle ahead of us. There's definitely a risk on pricing, which is why we are extremely reluctant to say what is going to happen to our price in the next couple of months. But at the same time, longer term, as also Fritz mentioned, this cotton price adjustment is something that we had expected and will need to happen, but that is being considered as a risk for the retailers and could benefit us if we play it right in the future.
Fair enough. Thank you.
The next question is from Michael Reis, Discover Capital GmbH. Please go ahead.
Hello, just one question. Is the depreciation on the Tencel line already fully in the quarter, or what could we assume for the depreciation in the next quarter or next quarters to come?
Half of the depreciation is in the quarter three.
So it will went up on how much in Q4?
Yeah, to full, to
100%. Yeah, so what would that be for the whole group then?
Let's say less than 10% of our total depreciation.
Okay, thanks.
We have a follow-up question from Matthias Pfeifenberger of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, me again. We discussed a lot also in the past about the savings now. It's not that I don't appreciate the extended program, but just maybe to get some more clarification. You have the base program, you have the extended program, you have the plus-plus, so my focus is more on the plus-plus. Here you mentioned on the slide 160 plus-plus. If you say it's 10 million, for each of those pluses, it's like maximum 180. On page 10 of the report, you say up to 160. Yeah, so that's in the report. It's maybe only a small mistake, but then also in 2014, you mentioned something like 65 realized, maybe some 20 to 25 coming on top in the fourth quarter. So that's already wiping out the plus plus for this year. So my question is, and again, I appreciate the extended efforts, but why don't you say it's 160 million and leave some buffer maybe if it's running better, especially, and that's that's the real question, when you still have a portfolio review ahead of you. So, I mean, it could be that you close Viscose in Austria and that you get problems with utilization and that there is effects that you haven't accounted for in terms of these savings. So why not say 160 and not plus plus, and then again keep the expectations in check, because there is already a 325 million EBITDA number in 2016, which is like up more than 50%.
We appreciate if you put a tag on each plus of 10 million. I am, of course, not commenting on that, but Matthias, I think you know, if we say that in August on the event of the first half that we are sharpening the program, then we are sharpening. And sharpening means that we at least expect, not just believe, we expect to overdeliver. We did it on the 60 million now, which was our target for 2014, which is now 90 plus. And we expect to over-deliver on the additional 60 for 2015. On the 90 plus, of course, we also mentioned now during the last half year that this 60 million structural, and if we're talking about 90 now, includes one-offs, includes non-structural savings. But savings, these are not price reductions we just get for material if anybody else is getting it. That is not included.
Can I just clarify, you meant additional 30 in 2015, right, not 60?
Yeah, on the basis of 90. Yeah,
as
the 90 include, exactly. As I mentioned, one-offs and some things which maybe we cannot count on in 2015. We have to start again from the level of 60 for 2015. And if we are a little bit lucky, we can maybe repeat this 30 million on one-offs and non-structural. But these are definitely different kind of savings, because we cannot count that we would get the same non-structural one-offs again in 2015, because then that wouldn't be one-offs.
So if you say the remaining 30 is non-structural for the fourth quarter, how long do these savings last, like for the course of 2015, and then they come back?
No, I say that are one-offs for 2014, and if it is not in the book for 2015, I cannot count it. We will do our level best to repeat at least a big part of this one-offs. We are confident that we can do several ones, but I cannot give you a guarantee, and therefore I want to check your expectation. I cannot give you a guarantee that this 30 million non-structural is a done deal also for 2015. Not at all.
So it's 130 million structure savings, or
no? It is 100, by the running rate will be 160 plus structural savings. 60 from 2014 at least, 60 from 2015 at least, and a part of the 60, may be already done in 2014, and including the 40 from 2013, that's the 160, and therefore, if we put everything together and with the confidence also I think we have for material savings, we have for additional, I would say, savings we may get and we may extract from personal excellence, we are quite confident that by 2016 we can work then on a 160 million plus structural savings running rate.
And what about the portfolio review? I mean, can you give us some ideas? You mentioned it's going to be an action plan, so I guess it's not going to be about expanding viscose or Modal, maybe about tensor, but then maybe also about cutting viscose. So if you don't have those volumes anymore because you decide to shut down capacities, then you also can't do material cost savings and personal cost savings on those, because that will be gone. So how will that impact? If you say you will shut down part of the operations, how will that impact the 160 million cost savings target?
Matthias, I'm not speculating about pie in the sky. Let's first finish the strategy review. And of course, you are right, a strategy review includes all kind of options, also includes such kind of options of shutting down an operation, but also, I have to say, includes options maybe to preempt growth on Tencel, to preempt additional growth on Modal. You are right that for the time being, if we cannot make a decent EBITDA margin on viscose, we are not going to embark on additional big expansion on viscose, but that does not mean that necessarily we will shut down.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks.
Excuse me, there are no further questions at this time. Please continue with any other points you wish to raise.
Any more questions? No, if there are no further questions, thanks a lot for your participation. Thank you very much. We will see each other again then with the results for the full year. I see there is another question from Mr. Hurl. Mr. Hurl?
Mr. Hurl, please indicate your question with star and one.
Hello?
You can go ahead with your question, sir.
I would be interested in, you're doing this strategic review. Does that also include maybe changing over from some standard viscose fiber lines, changing over to modal, which is potentially more profitable? Or what else could be the outcome of this review, and when can we expect results?
Well, you can expect results in the course of the first quarter. I think with the release of the end of the year figures, mm-hmm. we will inform you about the strategic review and about the strategic options, and not just the options, but also about the action plan. Mm-hmm. Yes, of course, potentially there are options to convert the viscose line into modal. But this is very, very expensive for the time being. I think, as Robert elaborated, we see that the Indians are expanding on modal, so we don't want to add right now additional modal. On the other side, we are more or less fully sold out on modal. I think that's also important to mention. And we see, also on the other side, we see pricing pressure also on modal. Mm-hmm. It also includes, of course, as also Matthias mentioned before, we have to do a very objective asset footprint review. But it could also be the result that we say, well, that all fits. But you also know that we have issues in China, that we are, even with all the savings we do in China, that we are still not making money, because the prices in the first in the last 12 months went down more than 15 cents, and so we have to weigh all kind of options. For the time being, if we would have somewhere else a new viscose plant, a closure would be easier. If we have no additional viscose plant, we have to be very careful, because we don't want to lose also our Chinese customers.
Another question, if I may. The other OPEX line has been 10 million lower suddenly than in any other of the previous quarters. What are the reasons, and how is this going to develop?
Like I said, OPEX was in the quarter three in positive effects also of material costs, and we clearly said that there will be increases in material costs, especially wood, caustic and sulfur, and that's why it cannot be in line with the following quarters.
Mm-hmm. Also, the other material costs position has been 10 million lower, so it's not only the other OPEX, but also the other material costs line was extremely low. Is there the reason that you have been using less trading goods, which also explains the relatively low volumes?
Yeah, this is reflected, but also consolidation effect. That's more affected in the other material, because this is also a bunch of materials which go directly into our wood or pulp part of the production, not only fiber.
Mm-hmm. And are those two items where we can expect the main increase in the fourth quarter, I guess?
No, not tremendous, no.
I mean, last year we saw a huge jump in those cost positions in the fourth quarter. So you don't think that this will repeat this year?
No, last year it was also a provision topic, this year not.
Yeah, but also if you strip out the provisions, then still there is was a relatively high increase last year.
Yeah, but not in the same respect.
Okay, that's it from me. Thank you.
You're welcome.
There are no further questions at this time. Please continue with any other points you wish to raise.
Okay. If there are no questions, once again, many thanks. And talk to you again then with the release and publication of the full year results. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.